The following program is a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you like it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock. Click on the Donate Now button in the upper right corner of our webpage. Hello and welcome to Table Talk, our monthly program here on AM 1260 The Rock, in which we invite into our studios, or in some cases lately, remotely, one of our local bishops who graces us with his presence, and we spend the next hour talking about latest things in the church, in the community, in the diocese, in the eparchy. And today we are very pleased to welcome back to our studio His Grace Bishop Bogdan Danilo of the Ukrainian Catholic Eparchy of St. Josaphat in Parma. Bishop, it has been several months since you've been with us. Good to see you're healthy and well, and welcome back to our studio.
Thank you very much, and greetings and welcome to all the listeners.
Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory forever.
Slava Iisusu Christu.
Slava Naviki.
Bishop, we have lots to talk about today. It's, like I said, been a while since you have been here, and unfortunately our world is a much different place than we last talked. And with that in mind, would you please begin our hour of conversation and for our listeners with a prayer?
Since we are now in a season of Pentecost, let us ask Holy Spirit especially to come upon us and lead us in our lives, in the lives of our churches, and especially in the life of our nation. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, Amen. Heavenly King, Advocate, Spirit of Truth, whoever are present and feel all things, treasury of blessing, bestower of life, come and dwell within us. Cleanse us of all that defiles us, and a good one save our souls.
Amen. Well, Bishop, it has been, as we said, several months, and our world certainly is a different place. You are well, and maybe a few words about how the various parishes in the eparchy here locally in Cleveland and Ohio and across your territory, which is 13 states?
11.
11 states. How have people been maintaining their health and also their faith during this time of coronavirus?
Well, it was definitely a surprise, I think, to all of us. You know, we were, if you recall, in the midst of our Lenten journey, we were coming to third Sunday of Lent, which in Byzantine Eastern churches is the Sunday of the Holy Cross. It's that beautiful image of placing the cross in the midst of our churches and singing that troparion, to your cross we bow, O Lord, in veneration, and we glorify your holy resurrection. So as community during that time of Lent, we were preparing the midpoint of Lenten pilgrimage, and then our pilgrimage became a little bit different. Namely, we were even unable to come to our churches for a prayer. I think few things are important to mention. First, I'm really pleasantly surprised and edified with the maturity of our communities. And it goes across, I believe, to all the listeners of Catholic Radio. You know, there is a lot of turmoil of should the churches follow the regulation of the government? You know, what about the separation between church and state? I think in responding to this, His Beatitude Patriarch Bartholomew of the Greek Orthodox Church had probably the most profound statement about why we decided as a Christian church, not just in states, but basically in the entire world, you know, to err on the side of cautious for our faithful. And he said in that pilgrimage, and especially asking our faithful not to attend churches, but rather pray with us at home or thankfully to both radio, television, and especially the social media via Facebook or YouTube or other means of communication, he said, it's not about faith, it's about faithful. It's not about Christ, but it's about Christians. It's not about the God-man, but about human beings who are coming. Especially as of March 15 or 17, we really didn't know too much about COVID-19, and churches, bishops, pastors made a concerned decision of asking people to stay at home to save those who are members of the church. You know, it's not about faith. It's about faithful, as his Beatitude Patriarch Bartholomew said. So it was a tough 40 days initially, you know, between especially third Sunday of Lent and then the time of Easter, where we are used to having, you know, large crowds in our churches coming for services, coming for confession, coming for Lenten retreats or missions in our parishes. And often there was just a priest, maybe one or two cantors, and a video camera that was supporting us throughout that time.
I remember that well, and some of the folks listening know that I and our family, we are members of your cathedral parish in Parma, and it was in the middle of Lent, the Feast of the Holy Cross. There was one of the weekday evening services, which are called the Liturgy of the Pre-Sanctified Gifts, one of the most beautiful services that are possible, and to which I have invited Roman Catholic friends to your cathedral, Bishop, and they have been greatly edified by this particular service during Lent. But we were there one day, and this was a day that the whole family came, including my grandchildren. And the next day or 2 days after, the word came that that was it. And so we had not actually set foot, like thousands and hundreds of thousands of people, back into a church for weeks and months. And it, you mentioned Easter. This was particularly kind of like a disjointing for everyone, that on Easter Sunday, when we would be worshiping together the resurrection of Christ, we're at home and maybe watching on the live stream or however we were able to do it. It put people like out of this, I don't want to say routine, but out of the rhythm of the practice of the faith and the liturgical calendar that had been observed for 2,000 years. And it was tough on people. And I wonder how you as bishop and priest kind of looked at this from your point of view when you saw nobody was allowed to come and they're trying at home to do what they can.
Well, it was a reminder also for us that our faith is within us, in individual, in our families. You know, we often tend to use that phrase of domestic church, you know, being family as a church, you know, father, mother, children, if we are still blessed with the families that they have, you know, generation of grandparents. There was really a test. It was a test of seeing how deep and profound and real is the religious experience of that faith in a families. And I have to tell you that we had some images of beautiful moments, you know. We were concerned. Of course, we're supposed to celebrate. You know, the whole idea of Lent and especially the Easter season is to come together in a Byzantine churches. Remember, on Easter Sunday, we basically walk out from the church. We walk around three times singing that Troparion, Christ is risen, you know, announcing the resurrection of Christ. And this time, everyone was at home, and we didn't even do the procession outside. We just had a short service inside of the churches. But it's a test of our faith. I think it's not the first time that a church is going through the period like this. You said 2,000 years. There was a time of persecution when you couldn't gather in the churches.
And well, in Eastern Europe and former Soviet Union, of course, yes.
For us, that experience was not the experience of the second or the third millennium. It was experience of basically 70 years ago, or even less. You know, we have now, as you know, a younger generation of parishioners who are coming, their parents or grandparents, were still not allowed to gather in the churches, not because there was COVID-19 in Ukraine, but because government was not allowing the practice of faith, especially a Catholic faith in the former Soviet Union. So often the religious experience was carried in their families. So now, especially as we are reopening the churches, it's beautifully to see the people and asking, you know, when they claim how much they appreciate of being back in a church buildings, how often the stained glass windows or crucifix or icons or images we have in our churches, you know, speak to them differently because they miss them for 10 weeks or more. But it's also for us important to ask how they live that experience of faith throughout this time.
Yeah. So I did, like you, observe some families in which the man of the family did indeed become, at that time, visibly head of the domestic church, leading the family in prayer, showing them or participating with them what they could do, say, on a live stream or something like that. So there probably are some benefits from what we went through together during the time that the churches were inaccessible to us. There's some benefit that we hope we can continue to keep, you know, that strengthening of that domestic family, like you said.
You know, if we had that discussion on February 10th or January 10th, just at the beginning of the year 2020, we would say, oh, we are missing everything. The life is getting so quick and passing. We have no time for our families, no time to reflect. In a sense, pandemic gave us opportunity to slow down and realize what is really important in our lives. Yeah. You know, neither the gatherings at parties, nor concert, nor theaters were accessible to all of us. And somehow we still continue as a community. And those who are the closest to us, our family, our neighbors, became really the essence of our life throughout those days. And you mentioned about the families. If you recall, we teach that through a gift of baptism, we all receive that royal priesthood. The priesthood that I share with our clergy is the priesthood of service. But in royal priesthood, we all Christians, and it's especially probably fitting to say this in this post-Pentecost season or in a Pentecost season, is we are called to be prophets, we are called to be priests, and we are called to be kings. But by kings, we mean service. So hopefully those families were able to fulfill those three obligations of the royal priesthood by, you know, being the teacher of faith, being the priest in a family. If you remember, especially in a Byzantine tradition, we have that unique opportunity of that brunch or breakfast on Easter Sunday when we eat together. And usually that food is blessed by the priest the day before. But we ask the head of the family basically to sprinkle it with the holy water since they were unable to come to the local churches and have that food blessed. So we act as a priest.
We did that in our home, Bishop Danilo, while watching on the live stream. And I can recall that very vividly. That was back on Easter, day before Easter or Easter Sunday. It was quite something to do that in one's own home. And I'm glad you mentioned that, because that is a memory that will be very lasting and will remind us of this time. And like you said, as our role as priest, prophet, and king. One thing that I think we were all pleasantly surprised about, maybe not surprised, but more pleased, was the ability of many parishes and churches to adapt very quickly, to put services, liturgy, divine liturgy, masses on live stream. And I know in your case, in the cathedral parish in Parma, St. Josaphat, it started slowly. But I have to say that after a couple of weeks, it developed into a very, I will say, sophisticated online broadcast. And I know the young man, your subdeacon, Yevhen Gulenko, who was very responsible, he's a good technical kind of a guy. It made it very rewarding to see not only the liturgy broadcast, and a number of the Roman churches did this too, where you can put up visual aids and graphics and have a couple of different camera angles. So it's almost like you were there. The church and its members adapted very quickly to this, I think. And like I said, maybe not so much surprised as very pleased.
Thank you. And I remember speaking, especially with Yevhen, he was saying that if we do this, we should do this on a good quality level, because it's like with everything, we are a visual society right now. So if somebody is following either the live stream or YouTube recording, if it gives a given person a little bit more, like you said, with a short explanation of antiphons or the readings. And I was happy that we had Yevhen with us, who was able to assist us in preparing those services.
Yeah, people are now coming back to public worship. The schedule of liturgies and masses at many parishes are solidifying, maybe not quite as many as there were, or some adaptations. How is it going with the return actually into the churches in your eparchy, Bishop Danilo?
You know, we were specifically, you know, tasked with making a decision not just for the Cleveland area, as it in case of, let's say, a Cleveland diocese or our neighboring diocese of Youngstown or Toledo. But I had to make a decision for the parishes covering from Cleveland to Key West, Florida.
11 states, 1,000 miles.
Yeah. One of the blessings, as you know, because the Eastern Catholic Church is where usually smaller communities. So it was perhaps easier for us. And knowing the experience of our church beyond the borders of the United States, you know, as you know, our church is now in all five continents. And so some places were a little bit ahead of time, especially the eparchies in Europe, in some portions of the Europe. And we learned from them that as we made that step of closing the parishes to a general public attending the services, and it happened basically overnight, as you said, you know, you attended the pre-sanctified liturgy on Friday, and then on Sunday they said, well, follow us on live stream. Where with reopening, it takes a time. We chose a little bit, I would say, symbolic date of coming back to the churches. Those, if you recall, Ascension of our Lord.
Yes.
And in a Ukrainian Catholic Church, we have those 10 days of missionary activities. We even have a special guidebook for that mission activities. Between Ascension and Pentecost, I ask our faithful, you know, both to pray at home and for those who are able to come back. I would say as of today, perhaps between 60 to 70, 75% of those who attended prior to COVID-19 are back in our churches. We still ask, especially those who are older, those who are, you know, maybe in that category of being exposed to the COVID, to stay at home and still join us via live streaming of the services. You know, the health and the good of those people is at the most importance to all of us.
Yeah, I'd like to talk just a little bit more about this, Bishop, but we're going to take a short break now. You're listening to Table Talk here on AM 1260, The Rock. I'm your host, Dick Russ, and our esteemed guest back in studio with us is His Grace Bishop Bogdan J. Danilo of the Ukrainian Catholic Eparchy of St. Josaphat in Parma. We're talking about the return to people, to public worship in the churches. We have a couple of questions from you, our listeners, and much more to talk about, including Season of Pentecost, Bishop. And I, we're in it, and there are so many different aspects to it. So we'll continue this discussion when we come back right after this very short break. And we welcome you back to Table Talk here on AM 1260, The Rock, our monthly program where we invite one of our local bishops in to talk about a variety of things. And with us today is Bishop Bogdan Danilo of the Ukrainian Catholic Eparchy of St. Josaphat in Parma. When we left off, Bishop, just before our break, we were talking about the success of live stream, not only in the Ukrainian Catholic Church, but the Roman Catholic churches. People adapted and became, as they called, nimble very quickly. And many people availed themselves of watching the Mass or the Divine Liturgy at home, either live or at a more convenient time, maybe a couple hours later on YouTube or whatever. But I've heard from priests over the course of the last couple of months, not just Eastern Catholic priests, the Roman Catholic priests, diocesan, many of them, that we hope that people don't get too comfortable watching at home because maybe then they are going to get too used to watching at home and, well, I couldn't make it to church this Sunday. I'll watch. And then they watch and maybe they don't watch. And next thing you know, maybe they don't return to church. So there is some danger in here. I wonder how you are thinking about this from your perspective as bishop of many parishes.
Indeed, we were blessed allowing our faithful to have that access. Could you imagine if we were 25, 30 years ago, those people basically would be only using, hopefully, the radio or television, but that's mostly, you know, the services from perhaps a major cathedrals or parishes. Today, we are in the opposite situation. We are inviting people to come back. And I would ask maybe all of our faithful to look into their own hearts. And the third, fourth Sunday after we started pandemic COVID-19 lockdown, basically, they all express the desire of coming back, saying, oh, how much we miss the community, how much we miss being in a church, either responding to a liturgical text or sinning together. I think we have to bring back that memory. You know, keep in mind, there is a reason for us as a church together in a community. You know, Second Vatican Council beautifully says that, you know, God in his wisdom desired to save us as a community, not as individuals. And I would really encourage everyone, come back. Come back to your local parish communities. If it's hard to make that step on Sunday, come on during the weekday. Most of our churches are open. Come for prayer, and you will see when you enter the divine place that God will speak to you. You know, the dialogue between you as a son or daughter of the Church of God will be reestablished. Because there is that unfortunate possibility that we may decide, maybe next week. We already were not the most profoundly, you know, every Sunday community. You know, average attendance of regular parishioners was 2-3 times a month. So most of us missed once a month the divine services or mass or liturgy already. So I hope that if you search in your heart at that moment when you are unable to come to the church, it will be another good step for each and every one of us to return to communities, especially as we are entering this summer season. You know, I mentioned this at the cathedral. I had a chance to visit one of our local parishes of St. Andrew last Sunday. This summer will be unique. Children are not going for camps. They are not going for travel abroad with the families. So perhaps our local parishes can become once again that place of gathering. Most of us have a little bit of green outside of our churches, and those kids and probably each and every one of us will enjoy to see, you know, a family just for a short gathering, be it afternoon, you know, start with the pizza or perhaps watermelon, talk to each other, and let's play the ball, you know, for a few minutes for those children to reconnect, because they are missing. Keep in mind, half of the spring semester in colleges and in our schools was outside of the classroom, you know, and education is important, academics and everything, but education also forming the human being, you know, for those children to be together, to see each other on Monday morning and recall what happened over the weekend, travel through the week with all the trials and tribulations of a school year, joys. They are missing this, at least they are expressing to us. I recently had a Zoom meeting with our youth, and they say they are missing the opportunity of seeing face-to-face their friends and teachers. Yeah. Surprisingly, they are missing their teachers.
They do. They may not say it, Bishop, but you know, the kids really do miss their teachers. I know they do. I want to talk a little bit more later in our Table Talk program here about that, like you said, different summer than has ever been. Right now, we're in the season of Pentecost, and let's start with a question that came from one of our listeners, and it involves the Pentecost season. Here, Bishop, please tell us more about the octave of Pentecost. Now, in the Roman Church, this octave of Pentecost, the 8 days of special celebration, was kind of done away with after Second Vatican Council. There was a story that began recirculating again about Pope Paul VI, about who changed this. Holiness, you did. So suddenly something was missing, but in the Eastern churches, there is still this octave, correct? And the time leads up to the All Saints Sunday. And part of the question was, is there a relationship between the coming of the Holy Spirit and the becoming a saint? So, Bishop, in the Eastern Catholic churches, how does this fit together? Feast of Pentecost, coming of the Holy Spirit, and then those 8 days, Sunday to Sunday, which then becomes the Sunday of All Saints. What's happening liturgically with us?
See, we were always blessed in the Eastern churches that we kept the liturgical calendar or schedule of all of those feasts. We are not just only celebrating the post-feast or the octave, but we often celebrate the pre-feast of the given event. We humans have to be reminded, and I think Church as a mother with the 2,000 years of experience, she knows our human heart and our human mind quite well. And the Church knows that we need to be reminded of special moments in our life and especially in the liturgical life. So I mentioned initially the 10 days between Ascension and Pentecost. They are liturgically perhaps not as much connected as the octave of Pentecost itself, but the blessing is that we decided in our church to use those 10 days to prepare what's supposed to be the fruits and gifts of the Pentecost and the day of the Holy Spirit. So if you recall, we have those special small guidebooks where you have reading from the Gospel and Epistle, a short meditation, and then a mission task. In a sense, preparing ourselves to become a missionary, because the gift of Pentecost is given to each and every one of us. It was given to the apostles gathered in the upper room. And if you recall from the readings, you know, they walk outside and start preaching the good news understood by everyone. And that same calling is given to each and every one of us. That's why the Sunday after Pentecost reminds us that among us are the saints walking and living the expression of the church and the gift of the Holy Spirit each and every one day since the beginning of the church until today.
You mentioned this little guidebook, and this is a book that you made available in the churches in your eparchy, and it took from Ascension then to Pentecost, and like you said, a reflection, a scripture, plan of action for each day, and it was a very helpful guide, and you mentioned them in your homilies. And another thing that you talked about, that as we are in this important season of Pentecost, which begins with the Holy Spirit's coming to the apostles and to the Blessed Virgin Mary, is the gifts of the Holy Spirit and the fruits of the Holy Spirit. This is something that you had emphasized. We should not overlook this. This is a very important part of our life and a critical aspect of the whole formation of the church and of our lives as well. I wonder if you'd tell us a little more about these gifts of the Holy Spirit and then the fruits that are manifest by this.
Through a gift of baptism and confirmation for each and every one of us, we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. St. Paul says it's no longer me, but the Holy Spirit that lives within me. So if we believe in gift of the Holy Spirit, all the gifts that we as a church, the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit, they are given to each and every one of us as a gift of the baptism and chrismation. But then there are also fruits of the Holy Spirit. And that's already responsibility of each and every one of us to grow and to experience and live them in our Christian life. Receiving a gift means also working and developing those gifts in our life. That's why the church is having the Sunday of All Saints right after the Pentecost and the Day of Holy Spirit to, in a sense, remind us that here are the examples of the saints throughout the history of the church who develop, live the sanctity of life day in and day out, and are a great example for each and every one of us to follow.
What is an example of someone can manifest the gift in and produce fruit by it? What would be one or two examples of how in someone's daily life they can actually live this Pentecost?
You know, our religious life is not just close to the church building or the domestic church, as we spoke during this time of COVID, but is to share with those whom we encounter joy, happiness, fortitude. You know, we're supposed to share what we experience in the church with those whom we encounter. One of the problems, I think, of our society is that we often take our religious life as a personal life, and we forget that we're supposed to experience and live this life with those to whom God is sending us. So the Sunday, the 15 minutes after we walk from the churches, we're supposed to still be an example of Christian living. The joy, and it's especially, you know, beautifully expressed in a Latin Mass liturgy when, you know, you are sent forth from the church to live that Christian experience. I think the fruit of our life will be when we walk from the churches, that whoever encounters us on the street, on the corners, in our daily life, sees the face of Christ in each and every one of us. Through our kindness, through our teaching, through our wisdom, through everything what we do in our daily lives, we should reflect the life of Christ.
This is what the secularists in our society today would like the Christian, the Catholic, to keep that bottled up in the church. And like you said, the minute you walk out, you're a different person. And this expression or living of this faith is not something that they would desire. But the calling of the Christian, as you say, is completely different. This is what we're supposed to do. You live that outside. It's not just Sunday. It's not just that hour or two you spend in the church. And this is where I suppose we can count on the true power of the Holy Spirit to help us do this, not just on Pentecost Sunday, but look at the apostles. They kept doing it until the very last breath that they took.
And our parents and our grandparents did the same thing. Probably the largest responsibility of every one of us who is alive in the year 2020 is to pass this faith to the next generation. It's our responsibility. It's the Christian way of living. And it's not just to pass the knowledge, the dogma, but the expression of Christian living. And it's only visible when we are in a society beyond our churches and our communities. And we have such a great examples of that Christian living, especially here in the United States, you know, through charity, through our service to those who are less fortunate than us. That's once again the expression of this, that as a Christian, you cannot just keep that faith as your personal experience, but you are almost compelled to share it with those to whom God is sending you. First of all, your family, your co-workers, but the society at large as well.
We just had, as the gospel, the calling of the first apostles. And I know that you mentioned you wanted to say something about this, but it's a very powerful thing that just with the invitation of Christ on the seashore, they dropped everything and followed him. Andrew and Peter and then the sons of thunder, as they're known, and that was in the gospel. And that is our calling as well, especially in today's times. We have societal unrest. We have a world so desperately in need of witness, I suppose. And these men just dropped what they were doing and came and followed the Christ.
And I don't know if you especially meditated on that gospel. You know, usually it's a very static understanding sometimes of gospel stories. Christ comes, heals or something. There is so much movement in the description of that very short passage from the Matthew of calling Peter and Andrew, the two first called apostles, and then, of course, as you mentioned, the Zebedee sons. You know, Christ is coming. They are in action. They are helping the Father to prepare for the next day of activities, or Peter and Andrew are in a boat. You know, he's calling them, and right away they are going and teaching. You know, if for the last 10 or already 12 weeks of our life, we felt that we were just staying in one place, such a great opportunity for us to basically go out and profess what we believe, you know, by teaching. It doesn't mean to, you know, impose on somebody. The best example of teaching is a witness to others. Trust me, a good Christian living, a good example of kindness to others will go far, far beyond that we can do just with, you know, reciting a prayer or perhaps, you know, giving a dogmatic explanation of something.
We're talking with His Grace Bishop Bogdan Danilo of the Ukrainian Catholic Eparchy of St. Josaphat in Parma here on Table Talk, our regular monthly program on AM 1260 The Rock. We have another question from one of our listeners, Bishop, and we'll get to that and more of a discussion as we continue our program right after we take another quick break. Welcome back to Table Talk here on AM 1260 The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio. In studio with us this month is His Grace Bishop Bogdan Danilo of the Ukrainian Catholic Eparchy of St. Josaphat in Parma. I'm Dick Russ, your host for the program. Bishop, as we continue here, we have a little bit of time left. Another question from one of our listeners, and this reflects back to something that we began to talk about. Bishop, why are there so many periods of fasting in the Eastern Catholic churches? Can we develop spiritually by following this calendar? Does it help? You were talking a few minutes ago about the rhythm of life, and the church in her wisdom knows and recognizes kind of this human need for structure and rhythm. But periods of fasting, I believe right about now, second half of June, we are entering yet another period of fasting. So what is this one? And then tell us more about why some people think like every other month you're in another fast.
Yes, we are in preparation for St. Peter's Fest, you know, for the Feast of Peter and Paul. And then, of course, we'll have Dormition coming in the middle, or Assumption, you know, called in the Latin Church, and there will be another period of preparation. Fast itself is not the goal. We often sometimes think of fasting as in itself an action. Fasting should prepare us for something more important. You know, if you are, everyone is on diet, you know, in this society. January 2nd, you know, everyone is saying we are going once again on diet. Yeah. I'm inviting to follow the Byzantine calendar. You at least have four times, almost 40 days of fasting throughout the year. But the fasting is supposed to turn our attention to something more important. Probably listeners mostly know the fasting before the so-called Great Lent, the Lenten days, or the fast before the Christmas, Advent, where for us is once again a 40 days of preparation. Is that opportunity for us to think, to slow down, to reflect what is important. And since we are a human beings, a physical being, by fasting, by taking away something which is part of our daily routine, hopefully tends to bring our attention to those moments in our lives, and especially in a liturgical calendar of the church, that it's marking an important events in the life of Christ or the life of the church.
And it could only be fasting from food. It can be removing from your daily life something else like television or social media, something like that, right, Bishop? Something so that you can focus on what you said is the real goal of the fast.
And our experience recently of COVID-19 probably was the greatest example. We had to stop and change the way we do. So a lot of people who probably you encounter in your families, how many more calls you had to your family members, friends, you know, just simply asking them how they do, how they are coping with the entire season of pandemic, that allowed us to think differently. That's why the fasting, you know, it's just basically readjusting ourselves once again on priorities which are important in my life, in the life of my family, and in the life of my community.
So in the case now of the Feast of Saints Peter and Paul, which is 29 June.
Yes.
And as people are listening to this program, it's right around the corner. What then on the Feast of these great apostles, how can we focus? What can we look for spiritually as spiritual goal of this fast for these couple of weeks leading up to this great feast?
It's probably to look at those two greatest apostles and their mission in the life of the church. You know, if you want to put in a room two probably separate or more distinct people, will be St. Peter and St. Paul. From a little we know from the readings of the Acts of Apostles, we know that, you know, they had more than one discussion and probably more than one disagreement in how the church ought to develop. But then the greatness of their feast is that the church decided to put those two profound apostles, Peter the rock, and St. Paul, who was able to preach to Gentiles and bring basically the good news beyond the borders at that time of the community of Jerusalem, as a great apostles. It's also a teaching for us that each and every one of us, in a pew, those who celebrate, we all have gifts. We talk about the gifts and fruits of the Holy Spirit. God knows what he's calling. In that mosaic of the church, each and every one of us is that bright light that shines at the given moment. So I would encourage everyone to look within themselves and say, what I can on that feast of Peter and Paul give to the life of the church? By church, I mean our community. You know, how I can witness better my Christian living to those who are around us. A grandmother, perhaps by a good example of being shining example of prayer and kindness to their grandchildren. you'll be surprised. And we all know when we grew up how important was the image of those parents and grandparents to us. You know, there were those icons that we look upon. And then when we grow, perhaps they are gone from our lives, but their teaching stays with us.
The original mother church of the Ukrainians here in the Ohio area is the Church of St. Peter and Paul in Tremont.
Yes.
And so that it's very appropriately named. I think, Bishop, many of us can see a little piece of Peter or Paul in our own selves because, as you said, you look at the scripture and the tradition, in some way, each of them was, to some degree, a hard-headed guy. Peter, very boisterous and wanting to do it his way, and Paul then totally convinced that he should be persecuting Christians until Jesus knocked him off of his horse and turned him completely 180. But both of them were very determined that in their own mind, this is what they're kind of hard-headed, like I said. And so, but in the end, in their own ways, like you said, they're different kind of men. They ended up doing the will and the mission of the Father and of Christ and so very much established the church as the two great apostles.
And I think that's the lesson for us, you know, in preparation for the Feast of Peter and Paul, as well as fulfilling our mission. You know, we are to become the Peters and Pauls of the 21st century. God gave us now that opportunity of carrying our faith to those whom we encounter and to the next generation that is given to us. And as we approach that feast, I would also ask to say a prayer, especially for Holy Father, you know, the sixth son or the man who is, you know, carrying the mission of St. Peter in a Catholic church.
Bishop, a few minutes ago, you began talking about how this summer is different than any other, and it certainly is. Everyone's habits have changed. The kids have not been in school since early March, and so if you extrapolate this out until fall, whenever school is going to begin, that's 6 months. So families, mother and or father working from home or laid off, unfortunately, in some places, all the kids are at home. Everybody's forced together. They haven't done this before. And it's continuing now in the summer when there wouldn't be any school anyway. And like you said, maybe the camps are closed. This is closed. The kids can't go here. They canceled the baseball programs and soccer activities. And so what do you say to a family so that they can maintain, some people say, their sanity and to get through this together as a family, not only survive, but become even closer, to find some way to find a benefit out of this particular situation that we're all forced into?
I hope that when we look, you know, from the perspective, maybe we need the next 6 months or perhaps a year or two or even more to realize how important that time was for us, how important element of formation as a family and individual was given to us through this time of pandemic of COVID-19. Use that opportunity of bond with those who are close to you, our neighbors. Sometimes we live next to them and we don't see them, we don't talk to each other. It was definitely not the reality of 50 years ago. You know, you could just walk on the street and speak with each other. Spend the time as a family. And here I especially see a place of our local parishes, be it in our eparchy, and tomorrow we are having another Zoom conference with our clergy spread throughout the eparchy of St. Joseph. And I will ask them, and if you recall, I did this at the cathedral and at St. Andrew recently, to open our parishes during the summer as a places of gathering. We have to be careful. I understand the pandemic is still with us. I would not, you know, encourage 500 children, you know, gathering on Saturday afternoon. But let's do an age group. You know, they are missing their friends. They are missing their colleagues. They are missing, and we do. Parents probably miss to see parents of Elizabeth, John, Mary. You know, let us get together. It doesn't have to be an elaborated program. It could be just opening with some prayer, maybe having a meal together, a pizza or something else, and then let them play, and maybe we can share our experience of those last couple months and try to encourage each other to strengthen our experience. Also, maybe we can help for those less fortunate among us. You mentioned some of us lost income, lost their place of work. Locally, connecting to each other, we can help much more than if we do this just by ourselves sitting in our houses.
Yeah, and one thing I was thinking of is that as we're concentrating on these things, it would be important to avoid taking a spiritual vacation during the summer months as well, because you, like you say, you become busy with things. Your people are still very much fixated on dealing with the virus situation. What's safe? Where can I go? Where can't I go? Taking the proper precautions and that sort of thing. But in the summer months, traditionally, sometimes church takes a back seat to physical vacation. I was thinking that this is not the time to take personally or with your family a spiritual vacation either. Perhaps even more necessary than ever to make sure that the spiritual life is preeminent in what you're doing this summer.
I believe so, and perhaps we have that opportunity this summer. Usually, if you know, starting with Memorial Day weekend until basically Labor Day, our churches are a little bit less frequently attended, especially by our younger parishioners. This opportunity gives us, let's come. You cannot travel too far. Probably the vacation in Greece or Italy this year has to be postponed at least for a year. But let us be together. Let's create that experience of rediscovering what is close to our homes, you know, and especially each parish has opportunity to create not just that place of worship, but also a place of gathering for those families. And I'm encouraging, I know, my priests and faithful to do this. And I hope that, you know, maybe those who listen to us can give a call to their local pastors. You know, sometimes we say, oh, Father is not doing it. We are waiting for those calls, you know. Call us and say, a third grade children would like to gather maybe on Thursday afternoon, you know. Father, would it be okay if we would use, you know, your facility or a bit of grass, you know, outside of the church for that gathering? And I believe that most of us will be more than happy to welcome those children.
You're listening to Table Talk with our guest, Bishop Bogdan Danilo of the Ukrainian Catholic Eparchy of St. Josaphat in Parma. I'm your host, Dick Russ. We have a couple of minutes left, and we will conclude this month's program right after we take one more short break. Welcome back to Table Talk here on Cleveland Catholic Radio, AM 1260 The Rock. Concluding things for a few minutes with Bishop Bogdan Danilo. Bishop, we had talked about the various negative things that the virus caused and how we all tried to cope, but you had mentioned that you saw some very positive things and that people in large part did react and have benefits that came of this. Tell us a little bit about your experience.
I was amazed how deeply they were preparing for those Sunday experience without being in a church. I saw
the live stream.
I saw pictures of people dressed better than on Easter Sunday, sitting in front of their computers or TV screens. Some people brought the icons on the side, place a candle, and they really tried to experience their church at home, you know, during those days. So probably the most important for us also is to say thank you. Thank you to each and every one of our listeners, of our Catholic members of the church, for their prayer and support. They were not maybe present with us in the empty cathedrals, but their prayers, together with the choirs of angels, were carrying us throughout this time of Lent and Easter and now almost Pentecost, all the time. And I would like to say thank you to all of those who said a prayer for their own priest, their own members of the community, and pray for especially medical profession and those first responders and people who help us to carry our daily life in the last 3 months.
Yeah, Jesus never said it would be easy, And we are challenged in these times. And then lately we have some social unrest that goes on top of this. But it's the body of Christ here on earth under the direction, as we were saying, the inspiration of the Holy Spirit that it seems to be working in so many people today, huh?
I hope so. And we had a great example of seeing this in the last couple months.
Bishop, we have a minute or so left, and I wonder if you have a concluding prayer that you can wrap up our Table Talk program with. And we've really enjoyed this discussion, and I hope our listeners have as well.
Let us put ourselves under the protection of Mother of God. She, as a Mother of Christ, probably knows more and better what we as humans need in this time. So let us pray to Mother of God for her protection for each and every one of us individually, our communities, our nation, especially in this time of unrest. And may we find that greatness of God in each and every one of us. And may the blessing of the Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with each and every one of you. God bless you.
Amen. Thank you. Our guest, Bishop Bogdan J. Danilo, the Eparch of the Ukrainian Catholic Eparchy of St. Josaphat in Parma. Thank you so much for being with us, and we look forward to the next time you join us, and we'll see how our world has changed yet again. And thanks so much to you for listening. For our producer, Tim Bulwer, and all of us here at AM 1260 The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio, I'm your host, Dick Russ. Thanks for joining us, and may God richly bless you.
The preceding program was a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you liked it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock. Click on the Donate Now button in the upper right corner of the webpage.